Turning to Matthew chapter 2, we get another part of the story. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard from the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, a few fun facts concerning and for us this morning, because what I've realized as I've studied and read is we have a tendency to converge stories. We take what we read in Luke, which is a primary one we tend to refer to, and we sprinkle in Matthew and a little bit of tradition through what we've always been told and watched with the kids' musicals and the nativity scenes that are presented, and we take all those things. Now, the interesting thing within the story that Matthew presents is there's no mention of a manger. And frankly, he's the only one that mentions the Magi. He never says that they were men, that they were wise, that they were kings, or that there were only three. And I know some of you are now pulling out your Bible and looking at these things. But traditions have a sense of solidifying in our minds, in our hearts, these stories. And what he does say, though, is that they come from the east. And the word that he uses for magi references astrologers, which were typically priests of a religion different from what the Jews acknowledged to be the one true. And it's important for us to note that that didn't keep God from using their belief and even their knowledge within the sciences to bring them to the Christ child. What it may even be more ironic is that in this story that God uses these scientists who practiced another religion to tell King Herod and the chief priests and the scribes of the people that the Messiah had been born. And as we've experienced throughout this story, God is determined. He's fully set on proclaiming the good news of great joy for all the people. So determined, in fact, that God reaches beyond the fields of the region in Bethlehem to the east. Many believe Persia, which some scholars, you know, believe is Persia. And God reaches beyond the shepherds to even people of a different land. God reaches beyond the people that are scared speechless by the angels and the glory of God to those who observe the glorious star at its rising. And as a result, they methodically, persistently, and sincerely follow it to a king. All along the way, God continues to direct them, first by a star, then via scripture found in Micah, and finally in their dreams. It stands out to me this morning that God seems to do whatever it takes to reach out and embrace people. God announces the birth of the Messiah to shepherds through the angels on Christmas Day. He reaches out to the Magi via a star. And he reaches out to the political and religious authorities of God's own people through Gentiles from the east. From a manger where the child lies wrapped in swaddling clothes, God reaches into his creation and continues to grow this understanding of who he is through Jesus, who we find out will eat with outcasts and sinners. Jesus will touch people who are sick and people who live with disabilities. Jesus will even call the dead back to life. And ultimately, Jesus draws all people to himself as he is lifted up on the cross. In and through Jesus, no one but is outside or beyond God's reach. God's radical grace is wondrously powerful and reaches far beyond anything of my own comprehension. The Magi came seeking a king. That's why they went to Jerusalem. That was the place of the royalty for the Jewish people. They studied the night skies to find the way. And as someone who holds on to favorite and cherished ways to share that God's work and proclaim the gospel and bring people to faith, it always amazes me that God's own work is far beyond what I may think. That God's work at embracing all people isn't limited to any one certain way, because God's ways are bigger than my understanding. We experience this as the Magi leave and after having arrived and worshiped. The Magi give Jesus three gifts. They are of immense value. They give what was precious to themselves, as to they would for all kings. But these hold specific significance because gold is a sign of kingship. Frankincense represents wisdom. And myrrh is a sign of long life and healing. Frankincense was and still is a costly incense. Myrrh is a prized perfume. And gold, well, it's the standard. These things were usually given to a king or a person of high status. But the thing is, they gave them to a child. They gave what was prized in their lives in order to worship. Not just celebrate a king, but to worship the Lord. Now, I will admit, we are not always so wise in our giving. Admittedly, I don't travel far to do my shopping because it's far easier to stay at home and do it in some ways. It's more convenient in some ways. But today I want to remind each of us that we are all still called to seek out the King of Kings. And that in our worship, we're not to give what is easy or convenient, but that Jesus deserves what is costly, a life dedicated in worship. Amen. That we're still reminded throughout that worship has two primary aspects. First of all, true worship must be centered on Christ. The reality is that we all worship something. Some worship celebrities, some worship money, some worship position and title, some worship other things. We all place things in people in the place that God only deserves to be. But what we worship is evidenced in what we give priority in our life. It's not about location. It's not about which pew you sit in or which songs we sing. It's not about whomever is sharing from God's word. Our worship must constantly be founded, centered on, and constantly focused on Christ. Second thing for authentic worship is that it requires a contrite and humble heart. Herod wanted to use worship as a prop. So he instructed the Magi to return to him, but his fear and insecurity would never allow him to truly worship anything but himself. His fear and insecurity only allowed him to look at himself and what he valued in himself. And so we must always remember to check our hearts as we seek Christ. And so as we came today, some have already exchanged gifts. Some will do so later. But much like those Magi many years ago, let me remind you, the best gift that we can bring is ourselves. That we bring ourselves to Christ, that we would pursue him methodically, persistently, and sincerely, just like the Magi did. That our worship would be true, consistent, and full. And as a result of that, that we can and would truly proclaim joy to the world. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. And God, there's a lot going on in this day around the world. That we recognize today that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and on this day you were born. The date on the calendar doesn't matter, Lord, as much as the reality that you did come. That you came to engage your creation. That you came to teach us a better way. That you came ultimately and were sacrificed for our sins. That God, if we would believe in you, if we would truly understand who you are and what you have done, that we could be united with you eternally. And so God, we come to you this morning, humbly worshiping you and celebrating you. Let us not be distracted, Lord. But may we persistently worship. In your name we pray. Amen.